Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Down at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks!
King Kong ain't got on me!
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
Good to have you listening, and you can always join the program at 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We invite you to follow us on social media. Follow the radio station at 92.9, The Game. This is an interesting conversation we have going on inside the studio, outside the studio, and I think a lot of Falcon fans on having this conversation as we get things started today. And we got a big show for you guys. Plenty to talk about, including the latest odds out of Vegas on the Falcons moving forward. Mm. We'll let you hear from Chipper Jones, who joined our morning show. Of course, Chipper's going into the Hall of Fame, and first time we've had a chance to visit with him. And, Mike, we're going to talk with Jeff Sentell at 4 o'clock about the national recruiting scene as signing day, as you just heard from John, is tomorrow.
Yeah, and can Alabama leapfrog Georgia? Will Georgia hold on to the number one ranking? How important is that? The dog fans, Ohio State's got something to say about it, so we shall see. But, I mean, there's a little bit different feel to this one because of this early signing period. With so many big guys and big names that a lot of folks have been following are already committed to their respective schools. But anyway, we'll talk to Jeff Sentell at 4 and see how Georgia can improve on what has been an amazing class so far.
All right, so let's reset this just a little bit for those of you who just may be joining us, or maybe you missed yesterday's show because you were so frustrated with the whole Super Bowl situation. You didn't want to listen. Eagles are world champs. We know that. But as we said yesterday, now we are talking about how we pivot and where the Falcons go. And today, by the way, article out about Arthur Blank saying the Falcons offense must improve in 2018. It's the first time we've heard from the owner. We heard from Coach Quinn.
Right.
But it's the first time, Mike, we've heard from the owner who says, we got to be better in 18.
And I like that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I like when I hear the owner of my team saying the same things that you and I are saying, whether we're at a bar or you and me on the radio. I mean, everybody knows in the Western Hemisphere that follows football what the problem was. The offense didn't do its job. And again, we can blame whoever you want to blame, but it was the offense, okay? It was the offense. Defense was much better and did enough, and certainly did enough in the big games, too, to get you moving on to the Super Bowl. But the offense let you down, so Arthur's right on the money with that.
He says, quote, obviously the offense was not consistent where we needed it to be. He said, I think the coach, Dan Quinn, and Thomas Dimitroff, our general manager, are addressing it. He went on to say that, they thought this transition from Kyle Shanahan, obviously, to Steve Sarkisian was going to be a lot easier. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. And I think that was proven out by the way that the offense played. We go from 33.8 points, basically 34 a game in 2016, to 22 in 2017. So that helps us set up this conversation about Matt, Mike. And, you know, we said yesterday, and we'll replay these audio cuts for you because Arthur said this during the week of the Super Bowl, actually. But the idea that Matt's going into the last year of his contract and they're going to give him extension. Rich McKay came on this show. He said, yeah, it's a priority. When it does happen, I don't know. I'm telling you, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. We know it's going to happen, but we've been trying to figure out, okay, so what does it mean moving forward, and are we going to have the additional cap space and money to sign these other players that we want to retain, whether they are becoming free agents or whether these guys are up and coming and they're going to be guys that we're ultimately going to have to pay?
Because that's the thing, guys. Remember, we picked up so much studs in that 16 draft, and we've got guys that are going to be around, and you've got the rights to them. There's guys that, you know, we are okay. We got two more years in some cases, three in some others, where we can then hold on to them and then make that contract, the big contract, a reality. The point that I think Arthur is sort of foreshadowing is, and again, we're trying to read between the lines here, is if you want to have sustained success and you want to, you know, reach your ultimate goal, and he's hoping that Matt's number one goal is by now to win a Super Bowl. Look, it's the old line from Wall Street. How many yachts can you water ski behind? You know, I mean, no one's going to tell somebody how to, you know, how to work. How many guys out there right now would take less than the going rate for your job? Exactly. So why should a quarterback be any different in the NFL? Now, we can all say, well, if I had $100 million, I'd want. Well, not everybody's wired like that. In a perfect world, yes, you have a contract that you can move some of the money around. And Matt gets paid. He'll be the highest paid quarterback for a minute until Drew Brees, whoever else, or, you know, Aaron Rodgers gets his deal. But there's enough flexibility to where the Falcons can do all the things you just laid out.
What is the obligation, though, of the highest paid guy on the team to take the hit? I mean, is it his obligation? Because in the NFL, usually that guy's the quarterback. Usually that's the guy that has the flexibility much more than anybody else. You might have a high-paid safety. You might have a defensive end, Mike, or a linebacker that's paid fairly well on your team, or maybe even your star wide receiver, Julio. But nobody's making that money that Matt is. Mm-hmm. And so is it his obligation to be flexible in this? Here's what Arthur Blank had to say.
I think he's a smart enough guy, plenty smart enough to know the value of having really good players around him. And so, you know, we live in a closed cap system, so there's only so many dollars available. You want to have enough to be allocated to other players competitively.
Yeah, this is not the NBA where you're paying the luxury tax, okay? It's not like Arthur Blank can go out and decide whoever he wants, pay as much as he wants, and goes, I'll worry about it once we win the Super Bowl.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way.
So, isn't it amazing, though, how the salary cap seems to work for everybody else? Now, granted, Golden State guys took some hometown discounts. Speaking of guys moving some money around to make things work, but whether it was the Hawks after the 60-win season, we couldn't keep that team in its composition. You know, and the Falcons, as we said, we got a good thing going here. But I like the fact that the owner is being proactive, throwing it out there. Now, look, either his agent takes the deal or he doesn't. But in the court of public opinion, if you want to put some pressure on Matt, I don't know if Matt, this even matters to Matt in his camp. But Arthur is throwing it out there saying, look, here's how we can do this if you want to win a Super Bowl. Nothing wrong with that.
No, and Mike, I was watching again because I went back because I was fascinated by it because they were both fish out of water, the two Bills documentary, 30 for 30. And in the sense that, you know, Parcells has always been the vagarious guy. He's right. Always been that guy in the media and kind of plays the media, mm-hmm. especially in his prime. If you go back and Parcells would say something and it set everybody off and it would be a complete deflection to what he wanted you to pay attention right. to. He was brilliant about that. But, you know, I'm sitting there watching Belichick, and, you know, if you've seen this documentary, The Two Bills, kind of, you know, goes back and talks about their relationship and obviously their coaching tenure in different places and how they work together. But the one thing I got out of this, and it gets back to what the Falcons need to do, is they have always done what's best for the organization. No matter if that meant cutting your best player,
right.
letting the highest paid player go, letting a guy that's on the up and come that may be a star in this league, letting them go. They've always done the best thing for the organization. For Parcells, he was one of the most successful coaches, a couple of Super Bowls, but even Belichick is taking it to another level. And I'm only saying this to say for the Falcons, ultimately as fans, we love all these guys. They got to do what's best for the organization.
Yeah, I mean, Don Terry Poe, you know, the contract might not be where the Falcons think it should be. That's a guy that might become, you know, a luxury item. If you feel you can, you know, you can get a younger guy off the draft, or you feel there's somebody else maybe a little bit cheaper free agent-wise, or maybe you've even got that guy on the team. Adrian Claiborne's a guy we'd love to keep for depth, but perhaps that becomes cost prohibitive. So there's a few right there. On the offensive side, I mean, everybody's in place. You just got to go beef up the O-line. You've got to, you know, we all know, that's the thing, there's no mystery to this. Guys do your job, right? Sark do a better job. Receivers do a better job. O-line do a better job. Everybody, including the quarterback and coaches, do a better job. You know, and that's part of it. I mean, that aside, there are some things, glaring needs that have to be addressed, O-line being number one.
No doubt. And I think that with Dan Quinn, here's the one thing I do love about Coach Quinn and respect is he came in with a plan. I mean, for everything that Mike Smith was, and I think Smith was the right coach for the Falcons at the time he took the job, you had Quinn come in here and say, this is the kind of player I want. This is the kind of guy I need. This is the scheme we're going to put him in, and I'm going to coach him up to be successful. And you've seen the defense go from being terrible to being top 10 in a 3-year span. So coming in and understanding what kind of players you need that fit the scheme, and these are the kind of kids we're going to draft, and then, oh, Mike, here's my plan for free agency, that stuff matters. And I think that's one thing that Quinn brought in, whether it was, you know, his time at Seattle or maybe his just time around the league and realizing if I get a chop opportunity, this is what I'm going to do. I think that's good. But we better get it right now. And that's the point I'm trying to make. As much as we want to talk about, you know, Matt being in his prime and he may play another 10 years, all this stuff is so – there's so much doubt. You've got to get these draft picks right. You better hit in free agency.
Right. So as we said, guys, you know, and we'll make a mission statement today at 2:11 on today. What is today? The 6th? No more. I'm not going to be bringing up what didn't happen as far as the playoffs. Now it's about getting better. Okay. We all know what happened. We all saw it. Okay. And, you know, I mean, we don't have to rehash the Super Bowl because we all saw that too. So it's now about what do we do while we have this group in place? Because look at the 49ers a couple of years back, you know, when they had that nucleus. And then all of a sudden injuries and guys getting wacky. Some guys getting hit in the head and retiring. Just all sorts of strangeness, and they missed their window. Seattle is trying to get back there. So I think and even the Patriots have not exactly, you know, let's be honest. That wasn't a gangbusters defense this year for New England.
No.
They took advantage of what they always do, that weak division, and they're just more clutch in the playoffs, so they got to the Super Bowl. Getting back to us, so we've just got to maximize this talent. Because, as we said, who knows if Julio can stay healthy, right? I mean, who knows? Is Hooper going to take that big leap you're expecting this year, or is that something? That's another thing, Carl. In addition to the offensive line, I really do think the tight end's got to get beefed up. Or you got to make that determination. Or I'm sure they already have in their postseason evaluations. Is he the man for the job, Hooper?
Joel Corey, the guy that we have on the show, he's a former sports agent, NFL contract, salary cap expert. We bring him on periodically to talk about different things. He just tweeted out about an hour ago that if Matt Ryan gives Tom Condon, his agent, wide latitude to negotiate the contract he sees fit, Falcons owner Arthur Blank suggests that the team should get a friendly deal. He says that's going to fall on deaf ears, and that's what we've been saying. I totally agree with Joel Corey. I agree with the premise with Arthur Blank, but I don't think it's going to happen. We're going to get to some headlines coming up next on Dukes and Bell. Coming up, some headlines. That includes Thursday, NBA trade deadline. I just asked AT, our executive producer, Craig behind the glass, our engineer, are the Hawks going to do anything? And, you know, Mike, there have been rumors out there about maybe moving Bays or some of these other pieces.
Bays!
The Hawks are going to have plenty of money moving towards the summer in salary cap, 20-some-odd million dollars. It may be more depending on how things work out, but we're keeping an eye out. I was having this conversation with Rick Kamla. We were talking about, you know, if you're Cleveland, and you've been saying this, and we have fun with it on the show, but real talk. LeBron's gone.
He hates Dan Gilbert. He brought a title to Cleveland, and now it's adios, amigo. And it's just a matter of where. You and I were just chopping it up off the air. I mean, of all the places, because I mean, if you want to continue to be LeBron and be the, you know, the one of the faces of the league, why not the Lakers? But the Lakers seem to have their own plan. At least that's what they're selling. They're more interested in that 2019 class, and there's a lot of talent coming out that year, but. You'd think the Lakers, but what about going to the Spurs?
Well, I said this to Rick Kamla. You know, we were talking. He was like, where is LeBron going to go? And you're going to get something decent back for him. Two things have to play. One, LeBron's got to like where he's going to go. He loves Pop. It's no secret. A lot of guys around the league love Pop and what he stands for. Could he go there and play for Pop? Duh. You put him with Kawhi Leonard, right?
Right.
They've got some young pieces. All of a sudden, the Spurs are back in the mix, and you know, again, that's one of the best front offices of the last 15 years. They could maybe maneuver something, and Cleveland would end up getting picks because that's what it's about for them. And I'm just simply saying it won't happen, guys, but if I was Cleveland, I'm trading. I got to move LeBron because I know at the end of the season he's gone. And by the way, Isaiah Thomas is an unrestricted free agent as well.
Right.
He's going to be gone. So all of a sudden, these building blocks that you had in place, you're left with Kevin Love because Kyrie's gone. I mean, I think you better do something now. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
But it is interesting, the dynamic in Cleveland with the owner. It's always been very, very tense between those guys. And, you know, when LeBron made the decision, how Gilbert went public with his open letter and all that. And even after LeBron has come back, there's been some weirdness there, right, Arthur? So, I mean, if I'm LeBron, yeah, I'll tell you what. It's kind of interesting to look at a very wide open Eastern Conference if you want to try to look ahead if LeBron did go out to the West. You know, for the Hawks, I mean, if we ever do get that transformative player. By the way, I watched Trae Young last night.
He was great.
You know, watching that game was like eating spinach, man. It was like doing my homework. First half was okay. Second half, nothing going on.
Well, it took
forever.
They're
missing shots left and right in the second half.
West Virginia didn't score for like the first 8 minutes of the second half. Yeah, it kind of came to a standstill. He still had over 30. Did you feel like he struggled to get to 30?
Yeah, it was. I mean, nobody else was doing anything for Oklahoma. Right. It was a one man gang. He was still hitting a couple of threes. I'll be honest with you, and this is, you know, knock on wood, because I wouldn't wish this on anybody. Bob Huggins, man, I hope he's going to be all right.
Well, he looks a little fat. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, the guy's already had a heart attack, and he's carrying about an extra 200 pounds in his gut.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I mean. Side angle, never flattering. But I'm just saying, I hope that, because you and I have met him at Final Fours. He's the kind of guy
you
want to have a beer with or 10. But, you know, just say to myself, man, that didn't look healthy last week.
When I was doing college basketball and traveling around the country, he was at Cincinnati. And, you know, I was there when he had Kenyon Martin and was doing their games back in the early 2000s. And Huggins has always been an aggressive, in-your-face, screaming guy. Which leads to strokes, okay?
Right.
And it only does when you drink and eat the way he does. And I only bring up that story to say, Huggy Bear, his friends. But Bob Huggins, literally after a game, would go, and he might have drinks for 2.5 hours hanging out with people. And he didn't necessarily watch his diet. And as you said, ultimately it led to him having, you know, I believe it was a heart attack or a stroke, a mini one at least. And, yeah, you got to be concerned because he's not lost any weight. And he's still screaming and acting crazy and getting after the refs. And you wonder at some point, is that going to come back? But he's a hell of a coach, man. I mean, he went to West Virginia and everybody went, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they're doing well.
But, watching that game last night, Trae Young, I mean, yeah, there's times, and the guys who hit us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text, I mean, we had the Bagley versus Trae Young conversation a lot last week. They say he still looks slight. Well, you know, Curry is kind of slight, but can this guy, I mean.
Dude, he's like barely removed from high school.
That's the thing. He will grow into his body, guys. I mean, they have these things called Bowflexes. He can get one. He can start getting after it, you know what I mean? You know, we can get a trainer. We can get him eating some oatmeal or something. But that's the only thing. Right now he looks like a kid.
Yeah, he does. I love the fact that he's got a nice handle. He's not afraid to shoot it. He plays with confidence. He's got everything that I'm looking for. But, yeah, he's young. That's the bottom line. Hey, Mike and I have been talking about Pro Flowers. I tweeted something out that gets you to the website. Use our code Dukes and Bell. But we're going to give you a chance to win a $50 gift card to proflowers.com, guys. So stay tuned as the Valentine's Day is approaching. We want to make sure you take care of your lovely lady. Craig, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Nick Foles. Everybody's saying Nick Foles, Nick Foles, Nick Foles. What are you going to do? Are you coming back as a backup? Nick, what are you going to do? Are you leaving Nick Foles? Nick Foles says,
you know, I'm grateful to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not worried about my future right now. There'll be a time and a place to handle all that. I take a lot of pride in wearing the Philadelphia Eagles jersey, and I just enjoy being here. I'm excited for Carson Wentz coming back healthy. You know, I'm just living in the moment.
Wow. What a team player he is. I mean, if it was me, Mike, I might be saying things like, give me my money.
Now, he's under contract through 2021, and it averages out to $5.5 million a year for Nick Foles. And he's already gotten some money from bouncing around the league. So, I mean, you know, you got your ring, legacy secure, you know. But I still think there's some teams out there that would say, you know what, I want some of that. That guy looks pretty clutch.
Well, he did say, for the moment.
Right on.
I'm looking at a tweet right now. Carson Wentz got engaged, and I'm looking at him propose to his girlfriend, now his fiance.
Right.
A couple of pictures are out there. So, Carson, you know, congratulations.
I got to be honest, though. We were talking about this off the air the other day. Strange spot to be if you're Carson Wentz, because, you know, for all the things that you were on pace for an MVP award, you might have probably edged out Brady if you stayed healthy. And now, it's happened for the first time since 1960 when they didn't even have a Super Bowl. It's strange. I mean, does that mean the pressure is off Carson Wentz? Or, I mean, you just go about getting back to work, and this team now is the Eagles are the team we have to pay attention to?
Yeah, I think they are. I think he is a... And I use this word, and people make, you know, oh, it's a little bit too much. He's a transformative guy. Look at how good he was during the season. That run-pass thing, and he is better, I think, than Foles is at actually keeping it and running it. And sometimes. Now, they're not going to do a whole lot of that because they want to keep him healthy. But, Mike, he got hurt on a scramble where he didn't have anything in that Rams game, pulls it, and gets into the end zone, and it was one of those freak angles where his knee gets hit.
Right.
But he has already had scored. I think he's something to be reckoned with as we move forward. I think he's the guy that we're going to talk about. And I was having this conversation. You got Dak at Dallas. You got him in Philly, right? Redskins just traded away. Now they're getting Alex Smith, which I think is a stopgap. And I'm just talking about the NFC, you know, East. But Eli's on the way out. I think Wentz is going to be ultimately that guy that we're talking about.
But do you move Foles if you're the Eagles?
I do.
You got to, don't
I
you?
Do. You need more pieces.
You
got
to go get some edge rushing because that's one thing. I mean – for all the things they do against the run, they could use, you know, and Hughes talked about this on the morning show. They could maybe get after the quarterback. They could beef up the secondary a little bit. There's some other things they could do.
By the way, everybody's still wondering if Bill Belichick was going to come off of what he said after the Super Bowl when it comes to Malcolm Butler. The answer is no.
I respect Malcolm's competitiveness, and I'm sure that he felt like he could have helped. I'm sure the players felt the same way. But in the end, we have to make the decisions that we feel are best for the football team, and that's what I did. That's really all I can say about it.
He was on a conference call. That's why you hear a little bit of an echo. This was yesterday. And, you know, bottom line is he's not coming off of it. He's like, what the decision was or what was made is the decision. So, Mike, I don't know if it'll ever come from him as to what really happened, if we'll ever really know what really happened. Mm-hmm. But Belichick's not apologizing for it, and he's certainly not coming off of his statement.
Well, we've heard some former teammates and guys that know him, Malcolm Butler, talking about a number of things. That's how the whole rumor got started about, was there a curfew violation? Was there some recreational drug use, perhaps, over the Super Bowl weekend that got him sideways with the coaching staff? But one thing for certain, there was guys on that defense who didn't know what was happening until right before the game started.
Yeah,
that I don't know how a Belichick team does that. Of all the things you want to say about, look, my way or the highway, rules are rules, applies to everyone, okay, but get it in order before you are stepping on the field and the anthem's playing. It just seemed kind of strange.
The odds are out, by the way. Patriots have opened as a 4-1 favorite. We're talking about to win next year's
Super
Bowl.
How is that even possible when you got all the assistant coaches leaving? And
it's the Patriots.
Well, I mean, the AFC is still a joke. Until the Steelers ever get there together, you're right. Then it is the Patriots, isn't it?
Steelers 8-1, followed by the Eagles 10-1 odds. Vikings and Packers 12-1 odds. That's a top five. Where are we? 18-1 odds.
That's where we were last year.
I know. And we took it.
By the way, what did you do with your ticket?
I tore it up.
You and I, real quick, not to sound like a bunch of jacklegs, just understand, we understand that when we
tore it up that night.
Now, I just want to tell you this. When we talk about money, as guys always say, don't get in my pocket. We're just saying that when we're in Vegas and the fun is flowing and you're up big on the craps table, a $500 bet on the Falcons at 18-1 seemed like a good move.
It was a good move.
$9,000. Which keeps you under the $10,000 limit with taxes and everything else. So, I mean, we had this plan. Art just ripping his up right now as we speak. So, yeah, I did too. I tore it up.
Yeah, I honestly, it's funny you brought that up. The night we lose to the Eagles, that Saturday night, I literally go upstairs. I had it in the safe, you know, and I pull it out, and I'm like looking at it. And then part of me was like, I'm going to keep it because I want to, you know, just – I was like, what am I keeping this for?
You know, because I've got my computer is, my little workstation, because my wife has the office, and I'm in this little cubby hole in the kitchen. Nice life I've carved out for myself. I spilled coffee. I spilled some Dunkin' Donuts on the ticket about 6 months back. And I was like, oh, no, and I'm trying to clean it off and everything, and as if it mattered. Anyway, but one thing for certain, we are invested emotionally and financially in your Atlanta Falcons.
Other headlines, guys. The Bulldogs head into National Signing Day tomorrow as the second-ranked recruiting class in the country. That's behind Ohio State. They could become number one. We will see how that plays out tomorrow. We'll be talking a lot about it as things get finalized. Also, the Colts make it official. Mike, you just mentioned it. Josh McDaniels, their new head coach. So Patricia, the D.C. with the Patriots, gone. Daniels, the O.C. with the Patriots, gone.
And I believe we talked about this early last week. The cap space for the Colts is they can do some things.
Yes, they can.
So let's see how quickly they can get things rolling. Now, what is Andrew Luck, right? I mean, we presume his arm going to work?
I think Josh Daniels makes him better.
I mean, certainly you would think that this, you know, this is a guy that was supposed to be one of the faces of the NFL.
And yeah.
I would say, I mean, it's still a bit of a question mark. $24 million, by the way, he's getting paid to not do anything. Andrew Luck last year.
Yeah, listen, he had a first great 3 years coming in, taking over for Peyton Manning, going to the playoffs, but now you've got to prove it. And this is prove it time for Andrew Luck. Meanwhile, Rob Gronkowski, we mentioned this for those who missed it, his home was robbed on the Super Bowl. May have lost multiple safes and possible guns lifted from his house. How did they know where those were? I don't know, but AT brought up an interesting point. He said that the police were there, and if you're a cop, we appreciate the men and women in blue. They were at his house for like 5 hours. Were y'all watching the game? What were y'all doing at his house for five hours?
I mean, it's one thing if Gronk is there and he's like, hey, Gronk, we crack a brew? You know, it's like, Officer Sullivan, Gronk, we understand there's been a burglary. What do you mind if I have one of your Sam Adams? I'm going to sit right down on your Tootsie sofa over here if you don't mind. But no, I mean, John Michaels and Rick were talking about it. You imagine that, I mean, again, we don't know, pure speculation, but a guy who's living the life, having some fun, You got to be careful who you let in your house, whether it's a, you know, a worker or a party guest, because that sure sounds like an inside job.
Yeah.
You know, one thing for certain, I mean, they took the safes out. I mean, that's not a move that comes, you know, that's not a smash and grab, okay? You got to put some work into that.
Get the safe.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, get the safe.
It's like Ocean's 11. They got to have a panel truck. You got to, oh, well, Gronk's getting some work done at his house. I mean, you got to have some subterfuge to do that one.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for a lot of these guys that are now getting robbed for whatever reason when they're playing in World Series or, you know, NBA Finals, whatever it might be. It's unfortunate because as fans, we know where they're at, and obviously the crooks know where they're at.
I guess you got to have your backup man in the crib. You know, you got to have your guy.
What, a gat?
Well, you know what? I mean,
what are we saying?
Well, I mean, I guess, well, the security systems obviously weren't up to speed.
All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell. By the way, Las Vegas took in $159 million in bets. And the game finished as the 10th most watched TV show of all time.
And the dude who bet the Eagles won.
Crazy.
Remember that? When there was like an 8-figure bet on Philadelphia.
Crazy. So
somebody's casino, somebody's sports book lost a fortune.
And somebody's out of a job, too. Hey, we got plenty more to get to, man, including more on the Falcons, guys. I think I've got the guy we need for our interior line, if you want to go that way. We'll talk about
it. If you men will take no pay, then none of us will.
NFL Blitz coming your way here in 20 minutes. We'll also let you hear from Chipper Jones, who joined the radio station today, talking about the Hall of Fame and the Braves. And is he happy? Does he want to coach? Does he want to be a manager? You'll hear that coming up at around 3:20 today. We are quite a ways away from the draft. And Michael and I, should I say, would start getting into mock drafts here very soon. Because it's what we do. We start having fun with it, especially, you know, with the combine approaching, Mike, and we start finding out a little bit more about some of these players. But as I was looking at some things, the guy that everybody's saying is the impact guy, if Dontari Poe happens to not be re-signed, and I think there's a good chance that might happen, guys. I don't know if we're going to be able to pay Dontari Poe the kind of money long-term he wants or thinks that he deserves at this point, and I hope he gets what he's looking for. I think he did a really good job. Again, it's hard to assess, Mike. We say this all the time with these interior linemen, whether they did the job or you know, what was expected of them. But there is a kid out of Washington that plays defensive lineman. He can play a one technique, three technique. He can play 3-4. You can slide him over in a 4-3. And his name is Vita Vea.
Yeah.
6'5", 340 pounds, and his motor is always going. He's a big guy that's quick. He was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year with 43 tackles this year. He is a guy that would probably be there at the point where the Falcons may draft, or you may have to move up to get him. But if that's what you're looking for, if you lose Poe, Mike, that's the kind of difference maker I think Dan Quinn is possibly wanting to go after.
Now, the guy that, if you were to argue that Vita Vea is gone by the top 20, there's another dude named Harrison Phillips out of Stanford who kind of fits the bill for what Dan Quinn wants to do. But he's projected to be a first or potentially a second round. So we'll see. Again, all these guys' stock will go up at the combine. So we're having fun with it. You guys are looking at the same list that we're looking at around the country. And I like about you, I go to NFL.com because you get like all the different experts like Bucky Brooks, our buddy Daniel Jeremiah. So you get a little varied opinion all right there. But there's a couple of really good defensive tackles, to your point, that could be there in the first and second round.
Well,
if you're going to move on from Poe.
And that's the thing. I mean, if you do move on from Poe, and I think that decision's already been made. I really do. I don't think we get to this point and you start to assess the talent, because you got to know what you're looking for at the combine. You got to go in with a plan. You're not going to combine and going, we're going to watch everybody. You're not watching everybody. You're watching a few guys. You're not going to play. You're not going to tip your hat. But that decision, in my opinion, has been made. And if they're keeping him, great. Then they're probably watching some other positions. But they're going to be watching defensive linemen, Mike, because you got to replace somebody in the middle like that. And we need a more disruptive guy in the middle. And I think we've got the guys that rush the passer, and Grady Jarrett. You've got Tack. You've got Vic. But up front, we need a guy that's also going to be able to stop and hold this spot with the run.
And it depends on who you're talking to, because I know we've mentioned it and we've talked with analysts about it's tough to, as Carl laid out, it's tough to sort of, I don't know, surmise what he did. Was Poe exactly what you were looking for? Did you think he was going to be out there for three downs every defensive series? That's not the way it works. They're always, because they're shuffling guys in. You know, you could argue a guy that, you know, was off the team, Rashid Hageman, was just starting to come into his own. But, you know, obviously that didn't work out. But as far as the defensive line, you know, all of a sudden what you think is depth all of a sudden through guys leaving, you know, and Claiborne on the end, it might be something which you take for granted, but you're going to have to address. It's all coming down to what Poe wants. Because unlike the NBA, NFL does it right. You get your free agency done first, and then you can do the draft.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I mean, financially, it makes sense. You shouldn't be going to spend money on free agents, and then the draft comes up, and now it's redundant. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make sense. The other part of this is, and again, do you believe in drafting offensive linemen, especially a guard? Okay.
In
the first round.
You and I have talked about this a lot. We've documented it. We've done our research. And the research is this team does not really do a really great job of drafting offensive linemen. So I think we got to do that through free agents. And you've got a couple guys in your list for guard.
Well, yeah. I just, you know, Isaiah Wynn's name keeps popping up, obviously, because I think he's going to be there and with where they have him rated right now. But he, you know, the thing that came out of the Senior Bowl, and we'll hear more about this from the combine, outstanding leverage. He can play tackle. They just think he'll be a better guard in the NFL. And he played guard at the Senior Bowl and did it really, really well. So, that's going to be the question from the front office standpoint is, do you want to draft a guard with this pick in the first round? And that's a very questionable thing. I mean, Mike, the only way I think you do that is if you look at our team, and I don't think they're doing this, but if you look at our team and you go, that's the one position we've got to get better and shore up, let's make sure we get the best guy. Yes, let's draft a guy.
All right. Andrew Norwell is a guy you guys are all talking about because you see him on the top of everybody's free agent list. He's 26 out of Carolina. Why would Carolina let him go? Unless, of course, it becomes too cost prohibitive. And then, guys, you start looking at guys like Justin Pugh from the Giants, but he's been banged up. And you start to look, it's not a very deep free agent class for interior linemen, for guys you would trust. Either then you get the guys that you know, but then they're older. And then I guess that's the other side. Do you say I'll take a bit in the shorts a little bit on the contract, but I can plug in a 30 or a 31-year-old guy because I know we can get the job done.
Yeah, and you're right. Remember, just like we're wanting to retain our own guys, because this is the other thing that goes into play. So do these other teams. To Mike's point, Carolina is not going to let a guard in his prime who's Pro Bowl or potentially All-Pro material just walk out the door. They want to retain their guys as much as we do. Now, if you get into a situation with an unrestricted free agent and, you know, there's a bidding war going on, that may play into it. But there's no way Carolina's not going to be in on that, especially they already know a guy that can play. Right. It's one thing when you go searching for a guy that can play and you find him. Once you find him, Mike, once you realize a guy can play, the last thing you want is a guy walking out the door.
Well, that's the other thing. So when you start to look at these lists, and they're out there, guys, you can go to, as we said, NFL.com, and you can rank them. Maybe you guys like to sit in your basement and rank them yourself. Either way, you start to get down.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you start to get
come
to
on, what, I like, my basement.
You sound like Mike Smith there.
What's wrong?
You want to do your research on him?
Point is, once you get past like one or two, it's like torn bicep last year. Injured, was injured, old. So that's what you're looking at in your free agent market for a guard right now.
Mom, bring me some more milk.
Mom, can I have some Tang?
Hurry up.
Right, for millennials, by the way, that's a powdered drink the astronauts used to drink, Tang.
I'm down here, I'm doing research.
Sorry. Thinking like John Clayton on that old ESPN program. I'm done with my segment, Mom!
I know.
Yeah, I miss not seeing him at the Super Bowl because he does radio in Seattle. You know, hey, Arthur. Get him on, man, before it gets too deep into the combine. I love John Clayton, man.
I thought you were going to say before he, like,
he's getting up there or something. He's not a spring chicken. Man. Mr. Lightbulb Head is not a spring chicken, but we do like John Clayton.
Yeah, Clayton's getting up there. But, yeah, man, he lives in Seattle and still does a lot of football stuff, even though we don't see him on ESPN. It is Dukes and Bell. You want to chime in, you can, guys, as we're throwing this around. NFL Blitz coming your way. We'll tell you what else is going on, including what Ian Rappaport says he believes happened with Malcolm Butler and the Patriots, the side of the story that he has heard, and the Colts making it official with Josh McDaniels, and lots of other stuff going on, including a pretty clever tweet by the Detroit Lions with their new head coach. 404-741-0929. That is the number. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can also dial us up, guys, and call at 404-741-0929. Same number for text and calls.
A couple of guys saying, amongst other things out there, would Roquan Smith. Guys, Roquan Smith's going to be top 10.
Gone.
I know you guys are all, and everybody's asking about Sony Michel. Hey, if Sony Michel was there late in the first round.
Would you?
Yeah. I would. You know what? I think he's going to be a rock star. I think, and plus for, you know, catching passes out of the backfield. And then you don't have to worry about Tevin Coleman. You know, you let him go if you believe in Sony Michel. But, I mean, hey, these are questions. That's why these guys are paid a lot more money than us to figure out who to go pick up. First things first, get that old line taken care of.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys saying, no, Carl, they would not give a hometown discount if Arthur Blank was asking if they were Matt Ryan.
I don't blame you. I mean, we all want our professional stars to do it, but you put yourself in those shoes.
No.
It's not happening.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
What is she doing? I never know what she's doing.
back there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.